Good morning, good morning, good morning, and happy Wednesday. Thank you for joining me on another episode of the Roundtable Talk Show. I am your host, Sharifa Hardy, and do I have an amazing show for you today? So you definitely want to go ahead and share the show, but don't just share the show. Invite someone else to share the show with you. I'm pretty sure there's an entrepreneur, a small business owner, your coworker who wants to start their own business. There's someone within your network that needs this information, and they won't have this information unless you go ahead and share the show with them. So as I often ask, please go out and be an evangelist for the Roundtable Talk Show. So while you're introducing the show to your friends, I'm going to go ahead and introduce our first guest. This young man is amazing. You've seen him on the Roundtable Talk Show several times, and I love the fact that he is so opinionated about life, about art, about what's going on in the world. Mr. Bill Pohe. Bill is a degreed accountant with a Vanderbilt MBA in finance and operations. From 1996 to 2004, he worked for a global Japanese manufacturing firm, Hilux, and cost sale price estimated 25% plus of all OEM push-pull cables, transmission, brake, cotton picker, production sold in the United States. But Bill is so much more. We're going to talk about what he has going on now and his books. Good morning, Bill. How are you?
Well, thank you. How can I beat an introduction like that? That's so wonderful of you. today's the result. Go ahead.
No, I'm just giving you your due, Bill.
Today's original intent was to go through the upcoming product to be released later this year in book form, the Salvador Dali Cipher, which comes the TV show Charmed with the Da Vinci Code using the works of Dali, climaxing in the National Gallery in D.C. at the Dali painting of The Last Supper and introducing the hostess of the party, the succubus Sharifa.
Oh, you did it! I love it. I had to fill everybody in who just tuned in. On one of the previous shows, I requested a character in one of Bill's books named Sharifa. So I got a character, Bill.
You do. Two will develop into a more than a bit player. Ooh. Yep. But events have turned to introducing a future product. And one of the future products is Mom's Amazing Journey. 13 years old, I moved back to the USA. I lived on Grand Cayman and Grand Bahama Islands. I was the financial controller for the largest exporter out of the Bahamas. And I came back to start becoming an author, create the Corporation X Vision, and take care of Mom. And this story is about a journey Mom took with me in 2014 to go out west. We drove out, took a month, went out to Montana and back. And it's the chronicle of our journey of that trip, but also the chronicle of our lives together. Unfortunately, this last week, Mom's Amazing Journey ended at the age of 96. And that is what is going on right now.
Your mom just passed, Bill? Is this the story or your mom? Away.
Mom's Amazing Journey has ended.
Oh, well, I'm surprised. I am so sorry to hear that.
Oh, don't be. Mom made it to 96, and she lived at home almost the whole time there. And years I've taken care of Mom. I could have had six-figure job like I had in the islands and have much more material possessions and whatnot. I trade our time together for all the money in the world. And now we move forward.
That's so beautiful. So beautiful. What are you moving forward and doing, Bill?
I'm sorry?
What are you moving forward and doing? What are you up to?
Well, everything is related to Corporation X and promoting the products and building on everything that's already established. So in essence, today I am a free agent. There are some things that are in the background in the works, but I don't know which direction they're going to go. By couple weeks when we sit down and go through things in more detail.
Okay, Bill. Now I am going to come back to you. I want to go ahead and introduce our next guest, the incredible Miss Vanessa Santos. Vanessa is an award-winning brand strategist, business and product executive with success in driving innovation forward, currently holding a leadership role at MasterCard. A social entrepreneur, Vanessa is a catalyst and thought leader for gender equality, brand amplification, product development, culture shift, and small business growth. Good morning, Vanessa. How are you?
Good morning, Sharif. I'm doing great. Thank you so much for having me.
Of course, it's a pleasure. I love to meet new people. I love to learn, especially when people have, you know, you're part of MasterCard, but then you're also an entrepreneur. So tell us how that works. Tell us who you are and what you're passionate about.
I like to say that I'm a multi-hyphenate. I've never had that gift of just being good at one thing. I envy my husband, who's a lovely singer-songwriter and has always known his career path is to be a musician. And sometimes I'm envious of that because I don't know if it's my ADD or what it is, but I just love having my hands in multiple baskets. So currently at my 9-to-5, I do hold a leadership role at MasterCard. I oversee our digital strategy for Latin America. And then as an entrepreneur, my husband and I have a record label that we co-founded. And then I also have a startup advisory for which I advise women of color to help get their ideas off the ground. So I do a number of things, but it all relates to my passion points, which are creating products that people want to use, helping women advance in our career, and always taking the opportunity to speak about gender and inclusivity and diversity.
Was there a point in your life where you ran into maybe that glass ceiling that you couldn't go any further because you were a woman, you weren't treated equal because you were a woman? I remember being in corporate America and going to meetings as an executive and being told to just sit there and look cute. And I was like, oh my God, that's all I'm here for. Right. So what was your experience that led you to this journey?
Okay. How much time do we have? Because I can talk to you about
three more minutes. 3 minutes.
I'll speak about the one that was the most jarring. Okay. I was in Mexico working with a very well-known oil magnate. We were wanting to develop, I was developing an application for him while working for MasterCard. I visited the Mexico City offices with all of my colleagues who all happened to be male. Because I am in fintech and technology and financial services, I typically am the only woman in the room. We are in this meeting space. Everyone is about to introduce themselves. And before I can even open my mouth, he pushes over a notepad with a pen and looks at me and he's like, so you can take notes. And I was just so shocked that he was so blatantly just assumed that because I was a female, I was there to take notes, as opposed to the fact that I was the most senior person in the room. I am the product owner and the one delivering the presentation. So I kindly introduced myself and he just completely looked away from me as if I didn't exist the entire meeting. And I remember I could use this as a teachable moment. I'm not going to allow his small-minded behavior to affect me. I'm just going to push on because I'm going to teach him a lesson and show him that my gender will not discredit me in any way from showcasing what I know that we're doing right, which is our amazing product. So I completed my presentation. Everyone was very supportive. We ended up closing the deal. He refused to look at me. I remember at the end of it, I approached him and I shook his hand and I said, thank you for giving me the space to speak. And I really do hope that you can continue to have more of these sessions with other women in your office. And he just had this blank stare in his face. And I remember coming back to the office in Miami and the first agenda on my team was, okay, we need more women leaders and we need more women leaders of color. Because if I'm experiencing this, I can only imagine the amount of other women that are experiencing. So that's still a battle that I continue to face. I would say it has improved. I'm lucky that MasterCard is a very diverse and inclusive organization, but many other organizations are not. And it's our job to just continue fighting the fight, if it's not for us, but for the women that are coming after us.
Wow. That's incredible. You handled it well.
I wanted to shake him. The Bronx in me wanted to just, you know, but I had to rise above.
Hey, I get it. The little girl from LA, from South Central Los Angeles, loves to shake people as well. That's what we do. You know what I mean? Right, taking that notepad and that pen and threw it across the room, you know, and then people are like, Sharifa, why are you so angry? You know?
Right. It's easy to just point at you, the female, and say, why are you upset? And think about what happened to get to that point.
Yes. And for other people, it's a minor thing. He just asked you to take notes. Like, what's the big deal? Mm-mm. So yes, I completely understand. Vanessa,
thank you for sympathizing.
Of course, this is the story of my life. Believe me, as a Black female, I get it. I can relate.
Yep. I can only imagine.
Now I am going to come back to you. I want to go ahead and introduce the amazing Mr. Nick Kite. Nick has established himself as a skilled top producer with experience in providing global exposure, tailored marketing and pricing strategies, exceptional consultations and negotiations. In the competitive Ottawa real estate market, Nick is renowned among colleagues and clients alike for his integrity, loyalty, and offering the highest in quality representation, professionalism, and a 93% referral rate. Good morning, Nick. How are you?
Doing wonderful, Sharifa. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you for joining us. It's a pleasure. Has anyone ever asked you to take notes in a meeting?
Absolutely. And I did.
I don't know. Sometimes the story changes. We'll see. But Nick, tell us, who are you? What do you do? And what are you passionate about?
Absolutely. So Nick Kite, I'm born and raised in the nation's capital of Canada, which is Ottawa, and absolutely love living here. It's peaceful. It's a big, small city, I guess that's the best way to put it. Both my family is from here, and we still reside here. I have a wife, Lisa, and a little girl, Audrina, who just lightens up our life. And when I'm not at home with them, I'm out supporting my clients in a very competitive real estate market that the greater Ottawa area is going through, which I'm sure there are many markets within the United States that are going through the same thing. There's just extremely low inventory, and that is creating a very in-demand market for sellers looking to capitalize. But can also be extremely frustrating for buyers looking at either first-time home buyers trying to get into the market or just looking for that special property just because there just isn't the inventory out there currently. And it's been like that pretty much since COVID hit us, which I know it hit in the States as well. So we continue with that. And it seems that every month, there's new things occurring, going a little bit backwards, forwards, but we roll with the punches just like everyone else. Within the real estate realm, prior to that, I had held both private and public sector positions, which the backgrounds were in business and human resources, specializing in employee relations, which I felt was... which were great stepping stones to running my own business in real estate, which I truly love. And pretty much my clients are my family and I treat them as such. And in return, they treat me really well and they refer me to their friends and family. And I'm able to help them with their real estate needs.
Wow, I love it. 93% referral rate. Wow. I always tell people I get the majority of my business through referrals. People who have said, Sharifa, I have no idea what you do, but Vanessa said, ask Sharifa. That's how I get my business. Has anyone, Nick, I've just zoned out. That's what I tend to do. But has anyone ever told you you look like James Corden?
No. But I'll take it.
That's one of my favorite people. I just finished watching his interview with Harry. So I was like, oh, you kind of remind me of him. Let's see if we can get the James Corden personality out today.
Well, I'll take that any day.
Yes. Now, real estate. Every industry has been hit hard over the past year. Real estate, as you mentioned, has been hit very hard. Some of the guests that I spoke to over the past year have said this has been the best year ever for them because they've been able to show more properties virtually than they ever would have been able to do, you know, otherwise by going to meetings, going to appointments, and it took all day. Now they're able to show 3, 4, 5 times as many homes. Have you found that to be true?
No. So we've put together protocols that have been in place since last March, and that is reduced timeframes within the property, limiting the number of people. So it's the agent plus only 2 buyers allowed in at the same time. Everyone has to sanitize prior to entering, wear face masks, limit the touching inside the property. So the sellers are leaving all the lights and the doors open, the interior doors, so we're able to view the homes. And they're exclusive, which means there's no one else there at that same time. and it's approximately about 30 minutes. And so, yes, there are opportunities for virtual showings. However, with my clients and the way I run my business is it is such a huge investment that I have seen people not understand the spacing or how the room feels until they get there in person. And since it is such a big commitment for a lot of people, I definitely do recommend an in-person showing with safety protocols in place. And I will give you an example. There was clients of mine last year that said the house that they saw through virtually was amazing. It was exactly what they wanted. They wanted to put an unconditional offer in on the property as they didn't want to lose it. I understood their enthusiasm. I did say, could we carve out 30 minutes today to go see it in person, just to confirm that it is exactly what you're looking for. They did agree to it, but they were reluctant because they knew that it was the right property for them. However, when we got to the property and we started to see how the rooms kind of flowed and the floor plan, there were a couple factors that jumped out at them that they didn't pick up from the virtual tour. And to be honest, they decided not to move forward with an offer. And they truly appreciated that I took them there in person, because that could have been a very huge mistake for them.
Excellent response. Excellent. Thank you. You're the first person who shared that experience with me. I definitely appreciate that, Nick.
My pleasure.
I am going to come back to you. I want to go ahead and introduce my next guest, Ms. Deja Tufts. Deja is an investor, entrepreneur, and cannabis industry enthusiast. She is the founder of Tribe Brands, a family of CBD, beauty, and wellness brands, including Tribe Totes, Tribe Revive, and Tribe Beauty. She was previously an executive at Instafluence, the first influencer agency, which sold to Maker Studios in 2015, and analyst at Sands Capital, covering nearly $2 billion in global retail sector investments, and an investment banking analyst at JP Morgan. Good morning, Deja. How are you?
Good morning. What's up, Sharifa?
You got to tell me. You got to tell me what's going on in your world.
So much is going on right now in the cannabis space. It's pretty wild. But yeah, so as you mentioned, my background was on Wall Street. Had a pretty successful career. Was at JP Morgan and then at an investment firm. I was the only female on the investment team for a while. Really loved it, actually, but decided that I wanted to learn how to grow businesses opposed to investing in them. Maybe we'll come back to that later in life, but nothing beats getting rolling up your sleeve and having the operational experience, you know? And I was the COO of two other startups before I started my own company. My husband and I, now husband, we were seeing the legalization of cannabis rolling out. We were like, we want to be a part of this for so many reasons, but we believe in not only patient access, but just adult use. We're all adults. We should be able to choose whether we consume or not. And there's also an enormous economic opportunity, obviously. And, you know, at the time, after spending time out in Colorado and California and going to dispensaries, I discovered that I actually really preferred vaping cannabis opposed to smoking, because I've always had respiratory issues. It's also, you know, it doesn't smell as much. There's a lot of other benefits. It's more discreet. You can dose it out easier. And in the CBD space, which after the 2018 Farm Bill, you're allowed to sell CBD. It was declassified. You can sell it across state lines in 50 states. But we went to some trade shows, realized that the CBD vapes on the market, a lot of them were really gross. CBD is not a very stable molecule relative to THC, and people were like adding stuff to it, these fillers and things that you'll see on the news causing like vaping illnesses. And we were like, okay, if we can create a really high quality, pure plant product as it's supposed to be and introduce that nationwide. So like dispensary grade, what they were doing for THC and dispensaries, but doing it for CBD, which we could now sell online. And so we did that. We have partners on our team who do manufacturing in California. And it's an amazing product. Our customers like love us and are so loyal. And since then we've also launched a skincare line. And I brought on a co-founder, Kimby, who's amazing. She's like the cannabis queen of New York. Knows everybody and is an Instagram influencer, has a great community here. We're based in New York City. And she had the idea for the skincare line and had already formulated the first product. And with that, so CBD is also amazing for skin inflammation, and it can also reduce your oil production. So like inflammation, redness, and then oil production, it's amazing for acne and a lot of like rosacea and other skin issues. But there are a lot of also kind of toxic ingredients that are in a lot of skincare products that people don't even realize. You know, you go down the pharmacy aisle and there's endocrine disruptors and potential carcinogens, things that aren't researched. There's actually in the US, there's a lot of ingredients that are banned in the European Union, and people just like don't realize this. So similar to the vapes, we're like, how can we be better? You know, I have a history in my family of, you know, cancer, and so many of my friends in my 30s are having issues with fertility and all this. And it's like, we don't need to be putting stuff on our skin every day that can mess with your hormones or, you know, be messing with your body. You don't even know it. So we found a clean skincare formulator in Illinois who's helped us make these like really all kind of plant-based, really effective formulations. And yeah, that's the business right now. So we've been up and running for 4 years now, which is kind of crazy. And New York just went legal last week. So we'll see how we fit into that. You know, we're still working through.
You'll be fine. Everybody who does it, takes that leap, is fine. I'm in Long Beach, California, and I enjoy my life, I can tell you. Now, Vanessa, I saw you clapping. I saw you nodding. When you hear Deja speak, what are your thoughts?
Well, first of all, I think what you're doing is amazing. Congratulations. I love hearing about other women just taking the leap from corporate America. Same thing with you, Sharifa, and just doing something different and putting yourselves out there. I think number one, that's an amazing thing to do. So congrats there. I'm also just a huge fan of CBD and use CBD products. So when she was mentioning about the different things and how it can benefit skin, different health issues, I'm a huge advocate of trying to find more of the medicinal, herbal, natural remedies for certain issues versus the ones that contain a lot of toxins. And as she mentioned, there are a lot of people that I know personally that have suffered from cancer, and they're time and time again, the proof of cannabis has always shown positive results. And so I'm very happy to see that New York, which is my home state, I'm born and raised in New York City, has legalized it. I currently live in Nashville. I'm waiting for this very slow state to keep up with the real modern times and legalize it as well.
Bill, what are your thoughts?
More power to it. I find it kind of funny, the juxtaposition though of the G, we're now saying it's okay to pop weed, but still got to wear this damn mask.
You know,
to be hypocritical, where's the freedom of choice?
Bill, you don't want people to wear a mask?
If you want to wear a mask, that's fine. Don't mandate it everywhere.
The mask discussion, to wear it or not to wear it.
Well, the mask and the weed are two very separate things, because weed isn't transmitting diseases or viruses or getting people sick. Whereas a mask is meant for protection. But again, it is a very divisive topic. I'm for wearing masks as long as it's protecting others around me. Whereas I'm sure Deja can speak more to the fact that cannabis has not been proven to give someone a virus that can make them sick.
It sounds like Bill was referencing like the choice, right? The people having the choice to do X, Y, or Z. And yeah, it is a divisive issue. I'm happy to share like my view on it, which is, so I wear a mask anytime I go into a store or anywhere where I'm like in a closed space with another human. When I'm walking down the street in the open air with no one around me, I don't wear one. And I do like to have that choice, Bill. I've had some people in New York like yell at me from across the street, like, put your mask on. And I'm by myself. So for me, like, I choose to wear a mask, you know, anywhere where that exposure is possible. But I do like to have the option when I'm like alone. But I think it's kind of funny when you're driving down the street and you see people like in their car alone with their mask on.
I noticed the same thing. When you said, what did you say, Nick?
I always laugh at that as well. I just I don't know where that comes from. And every single day I see it, I do give it's a little chuckle. But you know, funny. In terms of wearing a mask, you know, because I work with the public and it is mandated when we are showing properties, then absolutely from the professional standpoint, we abide by that. I'm, you know, in my private time or personal time, absolutely there's rules that have been passed here in Ontario and Canada, and, you know, abide by it, but understand that when we're outdoors and there's distancing that are taking place, that I feel very safe not wearing a mask at that time.
Yes.
You know what I just thought of? It's possible, I'm like kind of making fun of people who wear their mask in their car. It's possible that those people have COVID and maybe they don't want to get COVID in their car where their family might be or something.
I think you just
tried. Wait a sec. Tell me something here on that one. So I'm so sick with COVID, I can drive around in a car and go to stores. Because, man, it's such a tough thing. Failing to see why you need to wear a mask then, right? If you can't be, it isn't that sick. It isn't debilitating you, right? There's no evidence that more people died a year ago than the year prior. There really isn't. Yeah. They throw up a number and say, this is the amount of death certificates we signed off to this. There's no evidence that anyone died in mass quantities. I mean, think about it. What morgue or hospital, name me one morgue and one hospital anywhere that's overflowing, anywhere. None.
I mean, in New York, we had like in April, it was almost 1,000 people a day dying here. I don't think that was normal, but I don't want to get too much into it. I don't want to get too much into that.
We're going, and no. I want to hear about Painless, Bill. I want to stay on that. Tell us about Painless.
That's fine, but I'll say one last thing on that. It's documented that Cuomo, against the advice of all the medical sick people, into those nursing homes in April. So anyway, Corporation X. I am Poggi LLC. I've got all sorts of products, 20 more to build on and create and do. And anything I create is Poggi LLC, but in 2021, we now have Corporation X, which is incorporated as a Florida corporation and has 100 million shares in the treasury now. And we built from there. Corporation has a marketing agreement with Poggi LLC to market and produce the products of Poggi LLC in exchange for some of the shares. And then the rest is the investment vehicle. The lead product is Painless. Painless is the first of the Less trilogy. It's designed to be a $75 million budget motion picture, seeking a global box office minimum of $500 million, but seeking more than that. And then if the film's coming, as the Salvador Dali cipher shows, there's more products down the road. Here's the 30-second advertisement. It's 2005. The man with the hurricane full of trouble is Augustus Valentine. Aug runs an import-export company outside Port Everglades that was started with illegal money. So were the real estate developments in Sandestin. People with illegal money must do something with it. Periodically, goods are smuggled in and out of the country. In come the ruby, sapphires, and diamonds. They are promptly stolen from Mr. Aug, who did what he plot. Painless also features Jocelyn Aug's in Merritt Island. They have a weekend getaway in Ponte Vedra. There's a big hurricane finish on the beach in Sandestin with gold, platinum, gambling in the mix, as well as character development chapters in Detroit, Philadelphia, Cleveland, and Nashville.
I love it, Bill. I love it. I love it. I love it. So much information. I want to go over to Deja. Mm-hmm. Go ahead,
Bill. Go ahead. Go ahead. I've had my time.
No, no, no. It's fine. I want to go over to...
Bios features the back end of the hurricane, deer hunting in Michigan, Kruger Inns in Detroit, Disco Demolition Night in Chicago, South Florida, South Beach, and particularly the Lincoln Road Mall, winds up with a night storm in Philadelphia followed by a car chase down the Schuylkill, the Schuylkill Expressway to Penn's Landing, featuring an extended chase scene through the King of Prussia Mall. And I yield.
And you yield to the floor. You yield to the house. We're going to yield to Deja. Because Deja, I want to put your business growth hat on. Bill just gave us his 30-second pitch on Painless, which is his feature film that he wants to get out there. If he was a new potential client coming to you, sitting down, asking for your advice, what are some of the things you would tell Bill? Not about masks or COVID, but what would you tell Bill about Painless?
I see. So I have a lot of experience with digital marketing, but I don't know if that's like, Bill, what is like the sales funnel look like for this product? Like where, if you know where you want to promote it, I can hop in and provide some insights.
Well, the product is designed for men and women globally. I went out when Borders published, in 2009 to 16 states, 130 locations. I met 20,000 people. I sold 2,500 books. So 12.5% of people just on a one time, just seeing what you got here, bought.
Okay, but it's what's interesting is like that in-person model might not work as well anymore. Maybe like next year, but if you want to get going this summer, were you selling on Amazon?
Oh, it's out there. And the funny thing I think about your comment is, as a business person, I was always taught anything you can do by hand can be automated.
Absolutely.
Interesting. Vanessa? Yeah,
I mean, I think Facebook ads could be interesting too. Like if you can target people who have shown interest in a similar genre, or I've never done that for books, but have you looked into that?
Well, I tried to get away from it. I really did. But it brought us back. When on March 18, a year ago, and every day since, I have gone out to the Johns Hopkins website and gathered the daily dead count and analyzed and posted the data. Everything I have is factual. Facebook banned me and scrubbed everything. They said I'm spreading disinformation. So Facebook wouldn't work for me.
All right.
Well, let's see. Maybe it works for someone else. Nick, you talk about a lot of your business is through referrals, but what other means of advertising do you use to get the word out about your business?
Yeah, so I actually mirror what I do kind of in person online. I come from a very lifestyle perspective in terms of my social media and engagement. So I like to put out information not only that my clients and others would see its value, but also things that they may not even know about or be aware of. And those are the kind of things that I like to kind of put out across the different socials, depending on the platform. It can be tailored. And I do a lot of video in terms of digital marketing. Definitely on Instagram, we do kind of a lifestyle custom drone video for our properties that we use on our realtor.ca website and for our marketing purposes. So I find that by having the in-person referral business mixed in with what I do in person online, kind of just confirms with potential clients when they do reach out to me, it's very familiar to them. I feel that who I am in person is the same I am online. And that's a lot of feedback that I do get from buyers and sellers that are looking to engage me, that I come across as honest and trustworthy. And I do that online and in person. And so far, 8 years into this great business, things have been working out very well.
When you say lifestyle videos in real estate, specifically, what type of videos are you offering? Are you showing the homes? Are you showing what it would look like to live in this home? What do your videos consist of?
Yeah, so it's a mix of everything. It's showcasing the features of the home, but also bringing in the community surrounding, what the target demographics are looking for and why they would want to choose that home over some competition. So for instance, depending on the location, are there nearby attractions that a lot of people like to use? Like, is there a beach? Is there a lake? Is there, you know, a running or fitness facility that that you can climb the mountain or whatnot? And also then from a perspective of what you do daily, like, you know, nearby restaurants and bars and, you know, grocery stores and all those kind types of amenities that you need to live. And so just kind of showcasing that as well to the potential buyers, I feel is where we kind of incorporate our lifestyle branding into each and every property that we list.
Nick, you mentioned two things that I thought were important to highlight. One was the lifestyle video. Actually, I can tell you from a person who has purchased property with my husband, we find that to be so effective. We actually love it when we see that there is a video attached to a property for purchase, whether it's for investment or personal. Actually, the ones that had a video to the listing are the ones that we decided to purchase because it tells you about, you get to see a little bit more. And I feel like if someone took the time and effort to create this video and have a drone, that tells me this is somebody who cares more about than just the actual listing. So that's the first thing. And the second thing that Nick, that I wanted to highlight was when he mentioned about his persona on social media and as a business person, which just tells me that people connect with authenticity. People connect when someone is just being their true selves, whether it is on business or in social media. And that very much is a big a determining factor on whether or not you're successful, whether or not you're trying to pitch something or sell something. I think people can see if you're not being inauthentic. And that's probably why he's also been a very successful real estate agent.
Thank you, Vanessa. I truly appreciate that. But I like your points, and that's the feedback that I've received. And I'm a big believer of why change something that's working when it's not. Mm-hmm. And I absolutely love coming up with the different concepts for the lifestyle videos. I feel that it just kind of gives a different aspect to the home and community, which, you know, those buyers are going to be wanting to be a part of. And I also find that the community in general, you know, there's aspects of the community that they don't even know about, or mm-hmm. the new restaurant that just opened, or the new ice cream parlor. And so I usually get that feedback as well about, you know, knowing the local micro market.
Yeah, that's important, especially because people, I think the pandemic has forced a lot of people to leave their home state or to find other places to live, either to live or to work. And so those videos, I'm sure, are going to be very, very key for, I mean, I find them helpful as my husband and I continue to look for other properties. Cause like we're not there. We're not locals. We don't know what the locals know. So I think that's really cool.
Yes. And we're going to start a new show for Nick. It's going to be called Carpool Real Estate. So the person is going to get in the car, and then you're going to drive around all over the town just talking to them. That's the new show we have for you, Nick. You ready for it?
I'm always ready.
Nick, I wanted to share also something I've seen a broker do that I thought was effective. So I end up on an email list for a New York broker. I think her name is Lindsay Stokes. I don't even know how I ended up on her list. We bought last year, so I probably in my search I subscribed something, and even though I've already bought a condo now, I still haven't unsubscribed to her list because her newsletter every month, she does like she has her listings, but then she loops in like amazing things going on in New York, and I find that I always, it's like either articles or like listicles, like, oh, 10 amazing rooftops that have now reopened for drinks, or, you know, it's like very relevant, like people looking for outdoor space to go have a drink with a friend. She's had like COVID friendly events, and like I keep going back to her, and it's like, now if I am going to do anything someday, like I remember her name. And but the I thought it was smart that, similar to your like your comments about lifestyle, she's like, these are all the amazing things going on in the community, or things that you would find interesting as a New Yorker or someone who wants to move to New York. It isn't just about the listings. And I just thought that was so smart and keeps people, we talk about this a lot, like we have a really engaged email list and a low unsubscribe rate. We're like putting yourself in the shoes of the consumer. Like, why don't the things that you subscribe to, why don't you hit that unsubscribe button? And it's like, a lot of times either it's like you've laughed, you've learned something, or it makes you have kind of FOMO where you're afraid that if you unsubscribe, you're going to miss something in the future. Like this amazing tip that Lindsay might give of like a restaurant I didn't know about or something. But you could, you know, it might not be that hard to create something like that, like for Ottawa or your community, and like throw everyone you have existing on the list and just see what happens. I don't know if you've tried email marketing yet.
Yeah, so it's funny that those are all really, really good points, and kind of just further hits the kind of lifestyle and what people are searching for. In terms of like the referral based business that I have, what I do is I work with my clients who own their own businesses, so restaurants, banquet halls, pizzerias, and all these places. And what I do is I throw client events to support their business. And in turn, give back to my clients who have trusted me with their business and referrals. Obviously, over the last year, things have changed. So we did pivot as well. And we did all COVID-friendly events. So one that I did at the end of last year was a pizza pickup party. And so we had different intervals of times over 2 hours. It was 30-minute intervals. And we spaced people out each 5 minutes. And they had told us what pizza they wanted in advance. And they showed up in their cars, picked up the pizza, a quick little chat, and they were on their way. And it was our best, literally, I think not one person didn't come, which is mind blowing. But with COVID, I think people just, you know, wanted that human touch, and who doesn't like a good pizza? So we do that. And in the same manner, we're supporting a local business that have been really hit hard by the pandemic. So I definitely incorporate that into the business. And who doesn't love a good rooftop patio?
I love a good
pizza. Sounds like you just came up with the best possible like marketing for one of the new New York cannabis dispensaries. Like, who did, because that's a great, the pizza pickup with your order. It's like New York
dispensary pickup.
And, yeah. And like cannabis.
Thinking the same thing.
Yep. Like, if I ever have a dispensary, like pizza pickup is, that's going to be the big winner.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think people will just.
Munchies. You get the munchies.
They just come out and so happy to be out and be thought of. And I think that, you know, in itself, in any type of business, are the type of people that you want. And in turn, you know, they're great and great supporters of the business.
Yes, but it also shows that you're a part of the community. And I think that's what people are looking for these days, especially over the last year. They're looking for that connection. They're looking for people who are a part of the community. So I think what you're doing is amazing. Vanessa, what are some of the things that you use, or your marketing strategies that you use to grow any or all of your businesses? Mm-hmm.
Well, I have had two businesses that have been acquired. Currently, for the record label and for my consultancy, Instagram ads have been incredibly successful. But a lot of what has also been very helpful for us are strategic partnerships, partnering with like-minded brands. And for example, if I know that there is this big global brand that is having some kind of virtual showcase or opportunity, I will reach out and see if they need a live performer, or if there's an actual physical product that I'm working on one of my coaching clients, if there's something they can showcase to put part of the goodie bag, right? Because even though mostly everything has gone virtual, the majority of these companies are still sending through something in the mail, which is a nice surprise and delight. So there's always opportunity to include yourself in any form of marketing, but Instagram native ads, creating something that feels authentic, that feels natural, making sure that you're hyper-targeting to your audience, because I think a big mistake some people do is they want to reach everyone. You're not going to be everyone's cup of tea, but that's okay. The idea is to find your niche following and then cultivate them and continue to speak to them. And then, as Nick mentioned with referrals, that audience will continue to grow. And that's how my coaching, what started as a side hustle, has now grown, because I started with just my core demographic, my core audience, where you have to understand who your audience is first to begin with. You reach out one or two, and eventually those two to three turn into 5 and 10 and 10 and 15, and they begin to multiply, but it is slow and steady that you do so. So regardless of the channel that you use or the medium, but the most important thing is find the segment and the community in the area that makes most sense for what you're offering and selling.
Words to live by. Bill, what were your thoughts on what Vanessa had to say? Did I lose Bill?
Fine to me. Hello?
I'm talking to you, Bill.
Hello? There we go. Well, I guess I'm back. That makes sense to me. I don't really have much comment on it at that.
We're gonna pull some teeth.
Call me at a loss for words.
We're gonna pull teeth. You got some comments in there. How do you find your audience, the one that resonates with Byzantine Pineapple, Painless, and your trajectory?
Well, for me, meeting people, putting forth the vehicle shaper, and is where it'll end from that point. They're not. The advertising campaign doesn't say exciting or thrilling or whatever. It doesn't say Ripoji, right? I'm selling by letting the products sell themselves. That's how my construct is. And it's a longer time period and such to make things happen, but that's okay. Everything's moving along.
That's right. And you're going for a specific audience, specifically investors for your project. I mean, you're looking at $500 million. So it's not something you're going to just go to anyone off the street and have them be a part of it. So I definitely understand what you were saying.
The box office, the minimum box office saw it as that much. The actual investment is significantly less than that.
Oh, so we can get in for less than $500 million?
Oh God, yes. Oh goodness gracious, yes. Yes. What I said is the production budget for Painless is $75 million. That's an estimate. All the justification for that. I have the time to a 2.5 hour film and go from there. And if you say that, you know, there's three others, well, then you're saying, well, you know, if you hit the $500 million, you're looking at, you know, by the time you get done with three, $2 billion in global revenue, and that's just three of them. So I'm selling to men and women everywhere who are adults. Okay. I don't draw a distinction of the sub-marketing. I can tell you that the people who have an open mind are the people on the bell curve of society and such. That people who have a more flexible mind and don't feel that everything is written in stone are the people who find great appeal with the product. And the people who have a very rigid mindset, this is the only book or movie or whatever can be constructed, absolutely cannot abide by what I am doing, because it runs into direct conflict with their
belief system. I definitely understand. Deja, it seems like you have pretty much the same audience. You have people who are free thinkers, not people who are certain construct, but they're thinking outside the box. Wouldn't you say, Deja?
Yeah, definitely. I think there's been then as far as like being outside the box, it's, I think it's confusing for people too for a long time that they might have something that really helps them or that they like, and it's illegal. So it's very liberating for that, for our tribe, for things to become, be operating above the table these days. But
yeah, but there's also even, I mean, cause again, I live in California, you know, we are one of the most free thinking states that there is, but even with it being legalized for years, being legalized recreationally, there are still people who have that feeling that, you know, this was illegal, it has to be bad. So, I mean, the thought process hasn't necessarily changed overnight.
Totally. And I don't think that it will change overnight. And it's the whole, it's really messed up because a lot, the entire like legal status of cannabis, if you look at the history, a lot of it's rooted in racism and politics, and it shouldn't, it's for all the wrong reasons. And, you know, people, but they have something in their mind that if something's illegal, it must be bad. And so I think it's kind of a reminder too, that we all need to be like constantly questioning everything. If something's a certain way, it doesn't seem right to us. Well, why is it that way? And if you really go back to, it's hard to understand, this all happened like before we were even born. But just continuing to ask why and educating ourselves, and yeah, it's really important.
Absolutely. Now we are coming down to the last few minutes of the show. And what I love to do at the end of every show is just simply allow my guests the opportunity to speak directly to the audience, to everyone who is watching this show live, as well as everyone who is watching it in the archives, and let them know what you want them to take away from your appearance here today. And we're going to start with you, Nick.
Absolutely. I do want to say one quick thing about Vanessa. I really liked how she was talking about the niche marketing and tailoring. And in my business and many businesses, we know that you're not meant to work with everyone, and nor should you. And I think one of the most empowering things is walking away from a situation that you either feel doesn't reflect who you are as a person or your values, and it's okay. So I just wanted to let Vanessa know.
Amen, that Nick. Right? There's such power in walking away when something doesn't serve you.
One of my top ones was walking away from a situation that I just was undervalued, and it was freeing. So I just wanted to put that aside and then I'll flip back and just say, Sharifa, it was just amazing to be on here with everyone here. In terms of myself and what the takeaway, from a business standpoint, what you see is what you get. And I absolutely am passionate about real estate, and it's just always changing. And there's so many new opportunities that arise, and marketing, and just all these different kind of avenues to see if it fits your business model or not. And I think that's is just something that I take away, you know, every year when I do my start, stop, continue list. It's just surprising to me what's out there and what we get a chance to review. So I'm always learning. I'm always, you know, looking to assist buyers either find the right property for them or investment, and sellers to obtain top dollars. So if you're in the greater Ottawa area, I'm here, and give me a call, and look forward to supporting.
Absolutely. I love to learn as well. So what is a stop, start, continue list? That's what I want to know.
So it's mind blowing. So at the end of it, at each year, usually around November, so a stop would stop, start, continue list. Stop would mean this is something that you want to stop or take off your plate, which means that is it something of value and that you want to continue? If it is, then you have to delegate. So it's either delegate it to someone else on your team, or could this be a new hire? Start is something that you have seen or taken away from and you want to incorporate into your business or goals. So you have to see where that's going to fit and what you can add. and then continue is what you're passionate about. What do you still love doing that you want to continue? And so by doing those lists, it's very simple to see where you're at and where you're going and what's not working and what is working.
I like that. I'm gonna have to try that for 2021 going into 2022. I'm like Nick said, stop, start, continue list. I'm gonna make me one. Thank you. Deja, what do you have for us?
Sure. So just echoing Nick's comments, it was so nice to meet all of you. Sharifa, thanks for having us.
You're welcome.
Sounds like you're fostering a wonderful community online. I would say, so for anyone experiencing pain, inflammation, insomnia, anxiety, and who is interested in plant-based remedies, definitely consider CBD. If you wanna check out our website, it's tribetokes.com, and you can use the code TRIBE20 for 20% off your first purchase. We're just here to advocate for the plant. It can be from my company, it can be from another one. I don't really care. I just want to spread the word and help people feel better. And if you ever have any questions about any form of cannabis, whether it's from a dispensary or whether it's CBD that you can buy online, whatever, hit us up. We have a chat on our website and it leads right to my co-founder, Kim. We answer still, which is probably unsustainable. We still answer the emails from customers ourselves. And we are always here as a resource if you're kind of a newbie. And that's it. Thank you so much for having me.
You are so welcome. Look at that smile. You truly enjoy what you do. I can tell. Working with CBD and plant-based medicine, you got to be happy. Thank you, Deja. Bill, what do you have for us?
I am thank everyone for their time today. And I look forward to speaking with Deepa in 2 weeks in more detail on some things. Specifically, one thing I hope we go through in more detail is the Byzantine pineapple. Byzantine means that there's so many laws on the books that everyone's criminal, yet nothing seems to be illegal or legal seems to depend on who wants to prosecute someone. Pineapple means that using the CARES Act, for example, $2 trillion was spent, all those $1,200 checks added up to $100 billion. Where'd the other did the pineapple wall? The solution is to pre-budget government, and there's the macroeconomic formula loop. And I look forward in a couple of weeks to being able to explain that in more detail when we talk one-on-one.
Absolutely. We're going to have that conversation, Bill, in detail 2 weeks from today. We're going to learn all about it. Thank you, Bill. Vanessa, what do you have for us?
Well, thank you so much for having me, Sharifa. It was really great to be part of this diverse panel of people from different industries. Certainly a lot to chew on. I would just like to say, there's a really good things that Deja and Nick and Bill brought up. And that's to question the status quo, to be curious. And whether that is in your personal life or in your professional life or just in the world in general, much of this world wasn't designed for many people. And many times we have to open up doors when we don't see that they're being opened for us. And my message would just be, challenge the status quo, right? Do things, do what moves you, whether that is launching your new business, starting a podcast, continuing to grow your real estate empire, continue to spread the message on the wonders of cannabis, but just continue to move and go forward because that is the only way we're going to continue to see more progress and diversity in this world.
I love it. If people have questions and want to work with you, where can they find you?
I can be found on www.vsantos.co or on Instagram at La Vida Glamour.
Ooh, I like that. I like that. You go, girl. That is so good. Now, I have enjoyed this show. We have laughed. We have learned. We have discussed a lot. But I want to thank our guests for being here today. And I especially want to thank everyone who tuned in to watch the show live, as well as everyone who is watching it in the archives. I definitely appreciate your support. I appreciate you watching the show. I appreciate you sharing the show. But as always, please support our guests. Our guests are here this morning to educate you, to entertain you, to provide you with resources and information. So please support them. Their website link is in the Facebook post. But as always, please don't just visit their websites. Follow them on social media. Reach out to them. Send them a message. And when you do, please let them know Sharifa Hardy says hi. Now, if you're interested in more ways that I can help your business, or maybe you want to be a guest on the Roundtable Talk Show, please visit my website at AskSharifa.com. Until tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. Pacific, everyone have a safe and a blessed day. Bye now.